Look at him go. Good to see all your faces here today. Sometimes as a pastor, when you prepare messages, you kind of know where you're going, and you just lean on the Holy Spirit in there. And today, you know, just I have a message, prepared it. It's what I'm going to preach on today. But I'm praying that you will get what I'm going to say today, for you personally, but also for the church. But let's go ahead and pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for just the opportunity to be able to come into this building, Lord, together and to worship you. I pray, Father, that your spirit would have free roaming here today, that lives would be changed, that people would grow. And I just pray, Father, that your hand would be up on this service today, your name be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the body of Christ. A lot of my messages are about you as an individual. And today it is about you as an individual as well. But also it's about the body of Christ. And the body of Christ, there's nothing like it. If you want to be a lone ranger, then you're going to have a problem being in the body of Christ. If you like to do things your way, always your way, you're going to have a problem being in the body of Christ. Because it's never your way. It's always His way. We cause some of our own problems by trying to be and put ourselves in the place of God. But what we see in here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, I, the prisoner for the Lord, Paul is saying, he's a prisoner at this time, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. The key here today is unity. It's the key word today is unity. In the body of Christ. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. But the church gets sick from time to time. What we see here is Paul is urging us, because we have been called by Jesus Christ to accept his gift of salvation. And if you have salvation, that means you took the gift. And now because you took the gift of Christ, you are part of the body of Christ. And Paul says you need to act like it. We are called to accept one another. We are the body. We are family. And the Holy Spirit binds us in peace to give us unity in the body. Now, what I want to share with you is not every one of you are in the body of Christ. You're an outsider, but we love you. We love you. We want you to be a part of the body of Christ. Being part of the body of Christ is something that is so inexpressible. I can't even express the awesomeness of being a part of the body of Christ. There comes a great deal of responsibility in being part of the body of Christ. But if you're not part of the body of Christ, you don't have Jesus Christ, you are not part of the body of Christ. My prayer for you today is that these words will burn into your heart, that the Holy Spirit will speak words, and I'm not even speaking to you today, so that you might come to that place and realization that you want to be part of the body of Christ. It isn't becoming a church member here at New Life, it's becoming a part of the family of God. And the only way to become part of the family of God is to receive Jesus Christ into your life. Now, here's the thing. Whether you believe in him or not, he is real. Whether you want to accept him or not, it is real. You see, I can spend my whole morning here telling you about things I've seen, manifestations of demonic, angels, not that I'm a special person at all, miracles, dead woman coming back to life. But see, those are my testimonies that I have with me and the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing, even if you saw one of those, it doesn't mean you're going to believe. So God's not going to prove himself to you in that way. Now, he does things from time to time for certain people that need to say, however he does it, that's his business. Because it's about faith. It's about believing in God, though you don't see him, we believe. You see, we are going to celebrate in a way the angels could never celebrate. You see, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus. He's our Father. We're part of the family. We're in unity with him. We believe God's word. But we've never seen God, but we believe in him. We know the movement of the Holy Spirit. Angels don't know that. We're going to be able to celebrate in a way that they could never celebrate. We're going to be able to sing songs of redemption that they can't celebrate. We're going to be able to sing songs and worship him in a way that they cannot. Isn't that awesome? But if you're not part of the family of Christ, you're not part of the family of God, you're not in the body of Christ, there's no celebration for you. But I need to move on. And we'll come back to you a little later. Therefore, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and is all. Here we find there is unity in the belief of Christ, in the body of Christ. Whether it's different denominations or not, we have these things in common and they need to be. There is one body and is the body of Christ. There is one church. Even though there's different denominations, there is only truly one bride. It is those who truly believe in Christ. And we all got some things a little messed up. But we got this one thing that's right. That is, I have Jesus Christ, and we have Christ in our life. And when we have that, God will work in us. There is one Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, that is the Counselor. There's only one Holy Spirit. Okay, that's a part of that. There is one hope. Our hope is the second coming of Christ. Our hope is not in vain, but it is true hope. It is real hope. It is genuine hope. It is a holy hope. Is that I'm looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if you're not, usually that's because you have sin in your life. There is one Lord. That Lord is Jesus Christ. There is one Lord. There is one Jesus. There is one salvation. There is one Jesus. He only did it one time. He came down here one time in this way to give himself over that we might have salvation. There is one faith that's coming to the realization that you need Christ into your life. It's one faith. Not five faiths. Not a whole bunch of gods and idols. And not that. You know, when I see guy I knew that had some tattoos on him, had the ISIS on one arm and Anubis on the other. These are gods from Egypt. There were a few other ones on there. How's that going for you? Well, all he had was torment his whole life. Torment. There is only one God. There is only one God. There's only one baptism. I don't need to be baptized five times. One time. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, the promise of the resurrection. And that baptism, it's important to me. It should be important to you as a believer. So there's this one piece. There's all these things. There's this one of these, because we need to stay on track. It is the unity that's what brings us together and binds us by the Holy Spirit and gives us peace with that. When we rest and we go to bed at night, we know we have these. We know that we are secure in these things. And so we have this unity that God gives us to the body of Christ. But he says this in verse 7. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah as Christ's gift, Jesus' gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descends is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing in the mature man with the stature measured by Christ's fullness. What we see is Christ has given us all, at least one of us, all of us, I should say it that way, all of us who are part of the body of Christ, has given all of us at least one spiritual gift. There's a difference between a talent and a gift. A talent, you can lose it. Okay? You can get older, you can't do it so well, but a gift sticks with you. What is the purpose, preachers and teachers? It is to train up the body to do the work, which is called ministry of God's purposes. Some of us will never get even to that point. God wants the body to grow. He wants the church to grow. He wants the body to grow. And these gifts are given only by God's grace. And he does it all into the church so that what? So that we will do it together and have unity. And have unity because Christ is about unity. Keeping his family in a tight niche, keeping his family together, growing in unity. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every kind of teaching, by human cunning and cleverness and the techniques of deceit. And it goes on a little bit more. But it's that these teachers and preachers will be able to train up and teach that we're not being swayed. There's some of you back when you had some really odd beliefs, but you've stuck around and learned and grown away from those things that were not biblical. Some of us brought things in from other things that we've heard, that you may have heard from another place where they worship or whatever it may be. And it might be there's some different things. You know how many people told me in this church that I need to pick up this book or that book and this book and that book? There's been a lot. I need to stay in this. I need to stay in this. There's always temptation to try to jump into another book and get some new, fresh, what we think is wisdom, knowledge. I always tell people, be careful. If you're trying, even pastors, I say, be careful. If you're trying to, and I'm probably the most uneducated guy, and I'd say, always say that in the state of Indiana anyway. But I always say, be careful. You might just get your doctrine. Phil knows what I mean when I say that. Because you might put yourself so far up here, you forget even everything about God. You get to a place where you think you got and you're all high and mighty and you just miss the whole mark. And God's not impressed by your education, believe me. He's not impressed by the keys you hold in your hand, whether it's a fancy house or a little cottage or a little trailer. He's not impressed by what you drive. It's all about the heart. It's all about the spirit. It's all about the heart. And he wants you to grow in it. And when you grow, the church grows spiritually. And it begins to grow even physically. Let me tell you something. I can tell this church is growing spiritually in many ways. Not everyone, but a lot. Our giving is better than it's ever been. Yet here, hear me. We used to have a lot of 40, 50-year-olds in this church. 60-year-olds. Our young people, I'll give them. Now, I understand people today are making more money. But believe me, I don't go back and look. I just see the end of the year piece. I see a total, and I was like, there's something different, something different, something different here. And what it is we've worked with our young people for many years, and now they become adults, working adults, getting married, and you would be surprised at what some of them give financially to the Lord, which makes it easier to do this unity thing. It makes it easier, and is able to bring on an associate pastor, able to bring on an administrator assistant for myself, which is, I would never need it if we didn't have ministry. Believe me, I would not need one if we didn't have ministry. But there's a lot going on in this place. And I want to tell you right now, there's something demonic in this house right now. You can tell I'm struggling. This isn't how I preach. But we're going to go on. If it reveals itself, we're going to deal with it. And I am not afraid. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And it's not me because I'm special. It's because who lives in me. It is the Holy Spirit. There's a spirit here trying to push everything down. Trying to get you not to listen. Trying to get me to be flustered up here. I can feel it. Somebody brought it in. I'm just going to say it. Somebody brought it in. We love you, but we don't love it. We love you. We're going to keep going. Chapter 17, therefore I say, verse 17, and you're going to have to help, you're just going to have to work through this as I struggle through this a little bit. But we're going to get to ahead of this. Therefore I say this and testify to the Lord, you should no longer walk as Gentiles walk. We should no longer walk as we used to walk. If you're in the body of Christ, I'm telling you, we need to act like the body of Christ. When you walk in the world, and you are walking in the world, and you are part of the body of Christ, you're stepping out of the body of Christ and trying to do your own thing, and it doesn't work. And you're going to struggle as you begin to walk that way. You're going to struggle. You're going to mess around with things in the world. I'm telling you, you're going to get bit. You're going to get bit, and you're going to struggle in that walk. You're going to struggle in that walk, and you're going to ask God to bless you. And you're going to ask God to protect you. But I'm telling you, when you step out of the body of Christ, the group of believers, and you try to do your own thing, I'm telling you, you're walking into a dangerous area. It's almost like walking in a snake pit. Your protection comes in the body of Christ. All right? It becomes in the body of Christ. We are no longer to live that way. Listen, I know. Some of you struggled last night with whatever you did last night. Is none of my business, but it's your business and you and the Lord, because right now God knows exactly everything that you've done in your life. He knows what you did last night. And we are to be called the body of Christ. Listen, the church is sick. The church isn't dead, but the church is sick. It's sick. And it's looking at the wrong physicians to fix it. There's only one physician that can fix it, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And the only way to fix it is for individuals to get their life right with Christ. Man, there's some demonic in this house. I'm not pointing at you. It is here. Father, I just pray, Lord, right now that your spirit will move in a way that would flex your spiritual muscles in this house today. I pray, Father, Lord, that your spirit would move upon every individual that breathes in this room right now. That if it is not, that they are not united with you through Christ, I pray, Father, you move them in a way that they feel you reaching out to them. Lift it up in Christ's name. And he goes on in here and he says, listen, he says this. He says, they are darkened in their understanding. We are different. We're not like the world. They are darkened and in their understanding, excluded from the life of God. It means they're separated because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their hearts. They become callous. And they gave themselves over to the wrong kind of living, to the practice of every kind of impurity, with a desire for more and more. But that is not how we learned about the Messiah. Assuming you heard about him and were taught by him because of the truth in Jesus. You took off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. You are being renewed in the likeness of your minds. Some of them might say your attitude. You put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in the righteousness and purity of the truth. We are called to be different. People shouldn't even ask if you're a believer. They should see it. They should see Jesus on you and in your life. Your old self is gone. But some of you are struggling with your old self trying to creep back in. Listen, if you have Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. Listen, you can do it. You can defeat it. You can defeat it. You can't do it on your own. I'll tell you, you cannot do it on your own. If you could, you would have done it already. And God calls us to live a holy life. I'm going to read something here in verse 30. And do not grieve God's Holy Spirit. And do not grieve God's Holy Spirit. That means if the Holy Spirit is moving, you follow it. That's what we're trying to do this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You need to follow it. You need to listen. But he also says you were sealed for the day of redemption. Whew. Now that'll preach for an hour or two, if not longer. I want to tell you right now that if you have Jesus Christ, you are sealed to the day of redemption, to the day that Jesus comes. I mean, you are good to go, sealed, done, it's over. I ain't going to lose my salvation because I stubbed my toe. Not going to lose my salvation because, listen, but I'm not going to lose my salvation because I committed a sin. I'm not going to, no, I'm saved, but I'm a child of God, and sometimes children of God rebel against the Father. And the Bible says God disciplines those whom he loves. We are sealed to the day of redemption. But I want to also remind you, don't fool yourself. The biggest lie you might ever heard was, I'm saved. You better make sure you're saved. I don't care what you did at an altar. If it wasn't real, it wasn't real. Don't get caught up in all the things of the world that's going on right now. There's a shakedown going on right now. And it's a spiritual shakedown in the world. But I'm telling you right now, you need to make sure that you have Jesus Christ. If you don't have Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I'm telling you that you know that it's the real deal, that you know that if Christ came today, that he'd call your name out. If not, then you are not saved. You have fooled yourself. You have listened to the lie of the devil. God's people should want to be in church because we are part of the unity. There's a unity in the body of Christ. Sometimes the body of Christ can be kind of silly, can be hard. It shouldn't be, but sometimes we make it hard. We don't love as we should. There's some scriptures that come up. We don't forgive as we should. The Bible, it continues to go on and says we should be compassionate and understanding one another. We need to be more compassionate, but that still is not an excuse for you not to be a part of the works and the ministries of the unity of Christ. I think truly there's really only one question to ask today. Is it good in your house? Right here, this house. And you can't judge that for anybody else. That's you and God. I'm telling you right there. And if you don't have Christ, I'm telling you, it is you, yourself, and I, and that's not going to get too far. And I'm telling you, if there's one thing in hell they all wish they could hear again was the word repent. And it's not going to happen. But even just in this world, life is tormenting. I don't even know how lost people get through loss. I don't know how lost people get through pain and suffering. Because when I have pain, suffering, and loss, I go to Christ. I go to the Lord. I get before the Lord because I know that even though I'm in pain and suffering, there's still that peace, that all understanding that comes only from the Holy Spirit. Man, Lord. We're just going, I'll just go ahead and stand. We're going to stand. We're going to move on into this. good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Amen. Knowing that you don't always know what's really going on sometimes. But I want to tell you, this is an opportunity for you today to get your life right. I believe that God is offering salvation through Jesus Christ this morning for whoever needs it. You got to quit playing. For those who are prodigals, it means you're a Christian, but you're living a life that's not right before God. I'm telling you, you're only going to have problems until you get it right. You're only going to have problems until you get it right. Sometimes you've got to make tough choices. And I'm still speaking to that demon in the church. I'm telling you. But this is God's house. This is God's house. It's not Jimmy's house. Not Mike's house. Not the Thorns' house. Not the Crass's house. This is God's house. And we wouldn't want to have any of the names I mentioned, wouldn't have it any other way. But it's been bothering me for a while, but I don't know where it is, but we need to deal with it. But you need to deal with what you're dealing with. Get in the body of Christ. And you don't get in any other way except through salvation. And when you're in it, then you got to, don't run from others. We need to be together, make it stronger. Yes, there's days you may struggle getting into the church house. But I'm telling you, God, you become strengthened when you're around your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. You talk to the Lord.